Hey guys, if you want updates on our latest episodes, then be sure to subscribe to the Film Colossus podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Also, if you'd like to support the show and hear episodes ad-free, then subscribe to our Patreon page at patreon.com/filmcolossus.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know when you're trying to think of a song but just can't quite remember the name? Like when you're looking for the perfect track for a car ride, but all you can think of is a beat? Well, using weed in your teens can make you forget things you want to remember. Because your brain is still developing, the THC in weed can impact your ability to form memories and remember things. MindOverMarijuana.com can show you the different ways weed can impact you in real life. Want proof? Check out the facts at MindOverMarijuana.com.
Sponsored by the California Department of Public Health.
Start the clock.
You, the one with that smile, yeah. Come over here for a while. Hey, girl, do you hear what I say? I don't have time to be waiting all day. Just believe.
My name is Travis Bean.
My name's Chris Lambert.
And today we are counting down. I'm excited about this. I'm probably more excited about this than my favorite movies of the year. We're counting down the worst movies of 2022. And for me, this was tough because I think I am notoriously difficult to please.
You are. You are.
You're pedantic in your own ways, though.
Oh, no. I'm also like, I feel like I have more neutral movies than you.
Maybe, yeah.
But you have a lot of, like, the ones that you, yeah.
You're right. I have been thinking about that lately, how, like, I tend to either love something or really not like it. There isn't a lot of middle ground at this point.
Yeah, I typically am like, okay. Like, I think I'm harder to impress and harder to, like,
yeah,
kind of anger. I have a little more patience, but right. I feel like we're going to have some overlap on this list.
I think we will. All right, I will kick things off. I will preface this, by the way, that I feel bad, but my list isn't more diverse. It's mostly horror movies, but I'm a horror buff, and horror is just, like, consistently the worst genre these days, I feel like. So several of these are horror, including this one. My fifth worst movie of the year, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the sort of sequel. I guess it's a sequel, technically. That premiered on Netflix earlier this year. I have it at the bottom of my worst of movies of the year because, like, I feel like there's some life to it, some art to it. But I think on some level, I'm a little precious about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, especially Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which at this point has become one of my absolute favorite movies in the world. I love everything Tobe Hooper did with those movies in the 70s and 80s, the way they comment on the politics of the time. Like, they're just so interesting and dynamic in the way they're commenting on America in a way this movie isn't. Like, it's very dumbed down, and it's just making, like, Gen Z jokes the whole time, and the characters are terrible, and the acting's bad, and they made Leatherface, like, not as cool. Like, everything about it just, like, kind of pissed me off. So I just throw it down here at the bottom. It's a movie that just didn't need to be made.
Eek. What's it? What is it out of, like, your total for the year?
I have updated this list, and maybe, but it is at the bottom. So I have 45 movies on my list as of now. So it's number 41.
Okay. I'm at 54 so far for the year.
Nice.
So this is starting off at number 50 for me.
Nice.
I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so I can't really, like, chime in on the commentary, but I believe from the beginning they would not do Tobe Hooper justice.
They didn't.
I, at number 50, have Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, yeah.
It's in... I think you got rid of categories for your rankings, for like the yearly rankings.
The yearly ones, I don't mess with it, yeah.
Yeah, so this is like the bottom of my bad category. So it's not okay. In the I hate category yet. It's just right at the bottom. And I was really close to putting Bodies, Bodies, Bodies there, but I feel like I was a little more lukewarm on Bodies, Bodies, Bodies than Don't Worry, Darling, where yeah. I was like actively throughout parts of the movie just being like, what the hell are you doing? Okay, so Don't Worry, Darling was one. I think most people had a similar reaction where we saw like the initial trailers right. and we're like, oh, this is maybe going to be interesting. Like a little psychological thriller, seems like it might have some like Shutter Island-ness to it. Like it's been a minute since I feel like we've had a bigger budget identity crisis kind of film like this. Mm. And then as it got closer and closer to actually coming out, people turned on it badly just from the negative press about like Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles to Florence Pugh not being happy with the movie. And by the time it kind of came out, it was with a whimper. And it was one that I didn't even go see in theaters because I just had that feeling that it was going to be frustrating. And then when I watched it, I was just frustrated the entire time. Like I could see some like good ideas and thoughts and shots. It's like there's a shell of a very interesting movie. It's just there was so much emphasis on like the physical like scenes between Florence and Harry where I was just like, all right, this is mm-hmm. like a little excessive. The lovey-doveyness felt like it started to ring untrue, which might be part of it. Like there's probably somebody that's going to argue, well, of course it's excessive. When you know the twist and like the real like dynamic between them, like there's a point there, but it didn't make those scenes feel any less like frustrating to me and just kind of like eye-roll-y. And just nobody really gets to do anything. Like character arc-wise, it felt like nobody went anywhere. Like Florence kind of had a character arc, but we don't even see what happens with her story. It felt like such an unfinished movie to me, where it's like the draft of a concept and somebody that's like a much better storyteller would have come in and said, well, let's take what you have here as the full movie and make it half of the movie. And then let's dive into like the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I just sat here nodding my head the whole time. Like, I agree with all that. It's just a movie that doesn't quite hit the points it's purporting that it's hitting, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly commentary, but at the end you're like, commentary about what? Like, you're not really, like, saying much, or, like, there's not enough meat to the characters or the story. Like, it all just feels a little half-assed and not well done.
Yeah. Chris Pine's wife, Gemma, in the movie... Like her character, she has like an important action.
Yeah.
And it's completely underdeveloped, undercooked. Like,
and then she stabs it's him an at action the end. For. Whoops, sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
It's an action for a sake of action, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Number 42. It is my number 42, but it's also my fourth worst movie of the year. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Chris mentioned it earlier.
Yeah,
it's gosh, I think on some level this would fit into my category of like, this is just plain bad. But the more I kind of thought about the movie and read about it, like I just started getting more and more pissed off about it. Like on some level, it's just like a flat out bad movie full of like people who I don't think are very good actors, besides Lee Pace, who killed it in that movie.
Yeah, Lee did good.
But other like, it's just like a. Like, I don't, like me describing it makes it seem like a movie you should never watch. Like, it's a bunch of Gen Zers arguing about stupid shit the whole time. Like, the structure of the plot is there. Like, the concept, like, it's a game of bodies, 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 and someone was a murderer, and you got to find the person. But, like, within that, like, they don't do anything interesting. Like, it doesn't end up being much of a commentary on generational gaps or anything other than, like, what they're saying out loud. Like, it's a movie you could just listen to instead of watching. And the acting's bad, so like you're watching bad acting arguing, which is just like torture. And then, like, I don't know, I was just reading about it, and I had, like, five screenwriters, and all of them are, like, 40 years old. And I was just sitting here thinking, like, oh, God, like, this, it's just, like, a bunch of old people complaining about young people, and nothing about the movie is interesting to me, so I just, I really just hated it.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Well, yeah, there's something to the idea of it being like a microcosm of like Gen Z social media.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And like the cancel culture that comes for Lee Pace with only having like false information and incorrect information. You can start to extrapolate it to some interesting things.
Yeah.
But does that mean that it's interesting to watch?
Yeah, that was ultimately, I mean, that's the kind of the beauty of our site is like I did write an article explaining bodies. And I talk about all that. Like I talk about like social media casualties and like how people get canceled. Like all that is definitely part of the movie. Like I get it, but I can also pull myself away from like objectively what the movie is doing to like, is it doing it well? And is it enjoyable to watch? No. And no.
10 minutes and 42 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep it going.
So in the start of my I hate category, I feel kind of like part of me feels like a little bad because Variety just did its worst movies of 2022 list. And all these like people in the film industry were commenting how like kind of mean it was. Elijah Wood was also just like, why'd you have to do this? Like it's implied if it's not on a best of list that it's not like great. So did you really have to like take the time to tear apart these filmmakers? And part of me is just like, are we doing the same thing? Are we no better?
I think people need to grow up.
And then part of me is like, well, this is just our personal views on the movies, you know?
Of course. I can't think of a more... I can't believe anyone would care about that. But you know what? Everyone's got their own interests.
Yeah. I can at least see a difference between like an institution like Variety calling out worse movies versus like two individual critics.
I have no problem with it.
I hate Good Night Mommy was my fourth worst movie.
I hated the original.
Yeah, I didn't mind the original all that much, though it was like bizarre for a lot of the runtime, like kind of uninteresting, but I wasn't mad while watching it. This one, I was actively mad while watching it. And I feel like the cast was doing like as good as they could with it. But really what ruined it was like the last 10 minutes of the movie was just so cheesy and over the top and like infuriating to me that I was so frustrated when it ended. Especially with the changes they made to the original, it was just I would have loved to have been in the room as that conversation was taking place.
Oof. Yeah. I have no intentions of seeing it. So everything you just told me is about all I need to know. Number three for me is, I hate to do this one because I don't want to open up a whole discussion point. Like, I don't want to make this episode take any longer than it should. But Barbarian for me. It's just, it's funny because, like, I've heard you talk about it, Chris. I know you really enjoy this movie. It was number three on your list, right? For your best movies? Yep.
Now it's number four.
Okay. Okay. We're going to have to do an update to your list.
I know.
but I totally hear all that. And I could see why someone would like, I'm not a fucking psycho. Like, I kind of understand why people like movies, but everything about this movie and what it, to me, it's less of like the structure of it and like what it's saying and doing. Like, I don't deny that any of it could be good. I think just for me and my taste, like, a lot of this movie just felt icky and weird to me and not very enjoyable to watch. Like, a lot of the commentaries on just like genders, like, felt really like straightforward, and like everything felt like it was a caricature of something and it was meant to be a commentary on something, but it was just like the story itself was like gross. And like, this guy that I'm following is just like this maniac who, like, I have no empathy for and don't really understand at all. And this girl is just stuck in a terrible situation. I'm just watching her being stuck in a situation. Just everything about it, like, I didn't enjoy. Plus, I just, this kind of storytelling, like, it's trying to build a world. And it felt like that's what a lot of the movie was doing, was just building out this world that in the end, I actually don't really learn that much about. And I don't think there's going to be a sequel where, like, I learn more about what was going on. I don't know. Just, like, everything about it, like, isn't my kind of movie. So I had a especially unenjoyable time watching it.
It is a stylistic clash in terms of our tastes.
Yeah, right.
I feel like, too, like, in terms of what I've come to, over the years, understand from your taste, like, the more a movie can be, like, happy or like positive in a way, like, you can be very like human about like the way that a movie makes you feel. And with like Barbarian, as you're saying, it's pretty like a gross situation overall.
Yeah.
And the negativity and like kind of ugliness of that, I think, kind of creeps into your overall experience with the film.
I think you're spot on.
Yeah. Well, I have a very similar movie at my like third, number three of the year in terms of worst, in terms of just making me feel icky, and, you know, it's Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
I really liked Knives Out.
Oh, really? I don't like Knives Out.
Yeah. I saw it opening weekend. I was one of the people being like, oh my goodness, this is such an enjoyable film. I hope everybody goes and sees it. It's creative and inventive in a way that, you know, it feels like you just don't get from a lot of movies these days.
Yeah.
You didn't like it though.
No.
It's ugly. It's a group of ugly people, right?
Yeah. They're just all ugly individuals.
Yeah.
Physically.
And then Glass
Chris
Onion,
Evans, so ugly.
Just who can stare into his eyes? But Glass Onion, I thought, was such a step back in every single aspect of the movie, and that I was just pretty disappointed from the very beginning. Just even the opening scene is kind of horrific because it's a group of, it's not even horrific, but it's, it felt
I was like, I'm kind of excited to see it.
Spiritually horrific to me because it's a group of like, in, like, famous people that all get these boxes from their like genius friend, and they're calling each other to figure out like what's in the box and how to unlock it. There's all these little mini puzzles that they have to figure out, and it's just so unrealistic in how they're figuring this thing out, and so over the top. It felt like a scene that's being written by somebody that's writing like a Saturday morning cartoon show rather than somebody that's actually like writing maybe like a slightly hyperbolic but like grounded world. Right. And the first Knives Out was like a little hyperbolic but grounded. And this just starts off with that sequel energy of like, ah, who cares about logic?
Yeah, right. Chris Lambert does.
I do. Like, I really do. And there's going to be people that really love it, and they'll be like, Chris, you're crazy. And I'm just going to stand my grounds that it's a stupid fucking movie.
Yeah, people think I'm crazy every day. My second worst movie of the year, this falls into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre category because, like, I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And so number two for me is Scream. But it's worse. It's much worse than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I actually think my bottom two, like, there's a big gap between my bottom two and the other three I've talked about.
So they would be your I hate category.
They're absolutely my hate category. Scream, I think the big reason, though, is, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, as much as I don't like it and as much as I think it bastardizes the franchise, like, it is its own vision. Like, it is doing its own thing, and it's an update on technically what the original movies did. But Scream is, like, an active rehash of the Scream franchise, which is in line with Scream. Like, they are all meta commentaries on horror movies. So this becomes a commentary on, like, Wes Craven's Scream and new people making it. The problem is that these two dudes who are, like, younger than me, they're madly successful, so I probably shouldn't be talking shit about them, but I don't remember their names, the two guys that directed it. But they are, like, also, this means, like, they're aping Wes Craven's style in a lot of ways. And there's something about that that, like, especially drives me batty. And maybe just so pissed the whole time I was watching it. I was just like, oh, like, they're trying to make a Wes Craven movie. Like, they're doing it with his aesthetic through, like, his lens. They're trying to make it almost seem like he made it in a way that, like, doesn't work. Like, it's not nearly as smart. It's not nearly as interesting. The actors aren't nearly as good. Like, everything about it just, like, is just really shitty. Like, it really sucks compared to, like, what it's clearly commenting on. Like, the fact that I can put these two entities side by side and be like, oh, like, this is how much worse this thing is. Like, everything about it, like, and I love especially the original Scream. I like all the Scream movies, actually, besides this one. Especially the original Scream movie. So to see something, like, do such a bad job at, like, recreating it, it rubbed me the wrong way. It was my worst movie of the year for a while, so.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ooh, I don't know what is at the bottom of your list. So this is this is going to be intriguing to me. Mine was, like, a similar situation to yours, though it was part of a trilogy based on a famous horror franchise. I have Halloween Ends.
Oh, God.
Which, 56 seconds left. We're going to go over time. We still have to figure out what we do when we go over time, but we'll get there. Halloween Ends was just, I liked the David Gordon Green, why do I always forget his name? Danny McBride, Halloween.
You do forget his name a lot. I've heard you forget his name several times.
Right? It's weird. It just, like, goes out of my head all the time. But Danny McBride, David Gordon Green, I liked their original Halloween. That was, like, 2017, 2018?
Yeah, they made them pretty quick.
I thought that was enjoyable, exciting, like well done, like spiritual successor or actual successor to the first one, and was happy with it and was really excited that they were getting to do like another one. And then when it got turned into a trilogy, I didn't think much of it. I thought it was in good hands, and I really enjoy their HBO shows. Vice Principals, of course, Eastbound and Down, but Vice Principals and Righteous Gemstones, I think, are much better than Eastbound and Down. So I was really excited what they were going to do at the end of the franchise. And Halloween Kills was such a god-awful movie. And I hoped that that was just because they turned it into a trilogy, so stretched out the story and kind of came up with something on the fly. And Halloween Ends was going to be like more of the actual successor
right
to the first one they did. And it was just equally as amazingly, horrifically stupid. I don't understand what happened in the process between like the first one and the last two that Halloween Ends is the like the result of all of their like years of labor and writing and skill and craftsmanship. I don't know what would have happened to cause this to be as like dumb as it is.
What is it called? Like gilding the lily? What is it? When you like you dip into something too much and try to make it something, it just becomes a bastardized version of whatever it was.
Yeah. To embellish or improve something unnecessarily is gild the lily.
So yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these Halloween remakes. I'm not even a huge fan of the original ones, so I don't know in what world I would ever sit down to watch these things, but I'm glad you did it for me and did the reporting back on it.
It's not even just that the story, like the filmmaking.
I actually tend not to be a huge David Gordon Green fan. Like, I'm thinking through his movies now. Are there any that I love? Did he make Step Brothers? Is that him? What am I thinking of? No, Adam McKay. That's right. Gosh, I don't know who I'm thinking of. He did some movie I feel like I might have liked.
Pineapple Express.
I do like Pineapple Express. Sitter. I knew it was a comedy.
I like The Sitter. The Sitter always cracks me up.
Oh, The Sitter. I remember that movie. Okay. Drum roll. Worst movie of the year. This movie just like, it's funny. Like, I feel like the movies I usually have at the bottom here in the I hate category, like there's either something like Scream that like offends me for whatever reason, like especially offends me. And then there's movies like The Gray Man where I just like, I don't know. It's very rare you encounter a movie like this. It's like encountering one of your favorite movies ever where you're watching it. You're like, oh my God, this is doing everything I want a movie to do. Like, why can't all movies do this? The Gray Man is doing literally everything I don't want a movie to do. It was just like, it was such torture the whole time. These Russo brother guys, I don't know if you've heard of them. They are just, in my mind, like everything they touch is the least enjoyable thing to watch.
Like, ouch.
Didn't they make the Captain America one?
Which was the best Marvel movie to date when it came out.
God, it's just like,
but you hate it.
So grim and solid and
yeah, you and don't boring. Like the grim stuff.
It's just like boring though. It can be grim, but like not in a such a anyway. Just like dead-eyed people like talking seriously about things for 2 hours. But The Gray Man, like this was a step up even. Like, I don't like the Avenger movies they did, but at least like I can acknowledge what they are in some sense. Like The Gray Man, I don't know what anyone would possibly enjoy in this movie. Like the action is so terrible. It's a terrible role for Ryan Gosling. He doesn't fit into it at all. They do every trope in the book, like a sick little girl he has to watch after. And like Chris Evans's character, I mean, we talked about Chris Evans earlier. I'm sure he's a great guy, but like I tend to not like him in pretty much everything he's in. And I think he's terrible in this. Like, his villain is just, like, the scummiest, like, grossest dude. Like, not enjoyable to watch. There's nothing interesting about him. Just, like, every step of the way, like, nothing fun. Not fun in the sense of, like, you know, a Fast and Furious movie. But, like, there's nothing fun or enjoyable about it. Like, I'm not invested in any of it. I don't care about any of it. and I'm just waiting for it to end from literally the first like 5 minutes, and it's a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. So worst movie of the year.
I remember when they released like the first teaser scene from it, and it was like Netflix, the first teaser scene, The Gray Man. And just thinking that looked miserable. Like the 2 minutes of content that I watched that was supposed to get everybody hyped for the movie automatically told me that I was going to hate the movie. So I skipped watching it entirely. But I feel like we would be pretty aligned on the ranking of that one.
I would question you, Chris, if we weren't.
Though I will say, Russo Brothers' 4 MCU movies are my favorite 4 MCU. Not my favorite 4, but...
Maybe you'd love The Gray Man. Four.
Yeah, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame. Like,
yeah,
home runs, all of them.
Yeah.
Not to you. Not to you, though.
No.
My least favorite one of the year, speaking of the MCU, is... I guess it's technically not even like a movie. It kind of is. It's a holiday special.
You're going with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
I did not expect that.
No? What, just because it's a holiday special or because
I didn't even know if it was a movie. I thought maybe it was like 30 minutes long or something.
It was an hour. It was too much of my time. Let's put it that way.
That's true. I think that's a fair... If it took up too much of your time and it's at least an hour, then we can count it as a movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was legitimately... start to finish, just infuriating to me. And maybe, like, I feel like a Grinch being like, oh, this holiday movie for children is awful. But, I mean, I think it goes to some of my issues with the MCU in 2022, that it went from something that was telling very kind of like a tonally consistent story from Iron Man through Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
To now being a lot more comic-y.
A franchise that Disney owns?
Yeah, like Disney. It's become more Disney where they're like, okay, we have all of these TV shows that all have like different tones and energies, and some are serious, some are silly, some are goofy, some are fun. And that's, none of it fits with like the MCU to me. And this was one that just... the quality is so low. And it's the same thing with like Knives Out, the Glass Onion movie, and Halloween Ends, where just the logic is terrible in every single situation where you're like, okay, this was written by somebody that's just like, ah, it's a movie. Like,
yeah,
who cares? And even with this being like, if it's a kid's movie, there's like a whole stretch where like the characters go and get drunk and then break into Kevin Bacon's home and then fight police. Where you're like, is that a kid's movie? And if it's not a kid's movie, then all of the other choices in terms of like dialogue and plots are just a lot. Like, why do any of it then if it's not for kids? So it's in this middle ground of like, being weirdly edgy for kid stuff, but also being like too stupid for adults. Though I say that, and there's going to be some adult that's like, I loved it. It was fun. Why can't you just have fun? And that's because I have a broken brain.
You're a Grinch.
That cares too much about logic. Yeah. And just like quality.
Yeah.
I can't turn it off.
I can't imagine. Like, if I'm watching Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, like, I've lost a bet or something. Like, there's no reason in the world I should be watching that movie.
Ugh, it's especially frustrating because, like, Guardians and Guardians 2 are, like, they're fun. Like,
yeah, they're good.
Different,
they're well done.
Than the rest of the MCU. But they are, like, well done, logically, like, structured things. And this just had... I feel like... James Gunn set like a clock and was like, I have 30 minutes. That's all that I'm giving to like coming up with this holiday special. I'm not going to allow it to take any more of my time. So whatever I write in 30 minutes is the holiday special.
That's a good writing practice, but you don't have to film it and then screen it for people.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we did go, at this point, we're going to go over 10 minutes over time. I have a suggestion for what we could do.
What's that?
We keep track of all the time we go over.
Okay.
Add it up. And whatever that amount of time is, at some point, at our own choosing, we have to spend that much time talking about a movie that we talking nicely. Here, what is it? Like, we have to spend time talking about a movie we didn't want to watch. Basically, we're forced to watch a movie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I could get behind that, though I could also not get behind that.
We'll talk about it more, but that could be what we do.
I like the time that we go over being used towards something.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
It's going to happen a lot, too.
Yeah, so we'll figure out what that is.
All right. Until next time.
Yeah.
Whatever. Bye.
Yeah. What's our sign off? We don't have a sign off.
We'll figure it out. Got a big question to ask. Anything? Do you want to do anything? Maybe do a thing with me. It seems so good. Come on and do a thing with me.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.